tonight, Robert T. Been sober since 2003. She frequents the How It Works group here at NAVA and the Coming group. And Paul, kind of put her on the spot, Paul Olander, who spoke recently. We were in a big book study of 12 and 12, and he said, Barbara needs to tell her story. And she didn't hesitate. She said, sounds like fun. So I hope it is. Please welcome Barbara.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad to be here, and it's an honor, really, to get to speak to everybody here and share a little bit of my experience and strength, hope, story, past, present, future. I just want to say that AA has gotten me through the worst times of my life, and because of this program and because of you folks sitting out there, I'm able to stand up here as proud as I could possibly be. Maybe proud may not be the word. Honored is a better word. And say thanks, because you guys helped keep me sober one more day. And today will be one more day. I want to say, the first time that somebody asked me to speak, I was in my 6th month. I just got my 6th month trip. This is down in Miami, South Dade Group. And I was so floating on a pink cloud, I thought, they're going to ask me to speak in front of all these people. Oh, I got so thrilled. The problem I had with that was I'm one of these A-type personalities. So I went to the beach the next morning. I had all my notebook paper, my pens, and everything all around me, and I prepared my speech. Got some inspirational good stuff and wrote it all down. I was like, ooh, I was inspired big time. And I got home and I edited my speech. And then after I edited my speech, I stood in front of the mirror and timed my speech that I was going to give to the crowd that very next day. Well, that night, I decided to go to a meeting. And I'll never forget, his name is Carney Joe. I'll never forget him. Blessed man. I'm going over, still proofing my speech, during the meeting. And he comes by me and goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm preparing for my speech tomorrow. And he was a big guy, and he goes, ho, ho, ho. And he goes, get rid of that. And I was just looking at him, devastated. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, you don't go up there. If you go up there with that paperwork, they will toss you out. He says, you go up there and you talk from your heart, not from your paper. So this old timer's telling me, I can't take my paperwork up there. So I was unprepared. And that frightened me. And all these people are staring at me and they're into my soul. And I didn't want to look at anybody and tell my story because I was afraid of what they'd think about me. And that was wrong. So I think God that I listened to him, and I tossed it in the trash on the way out. And I got up the next day and I told my story from my heart and my soul instead of what was written in front of me. So I was asked tonight, and I didn't prepare anything, not really. Sometimes I have a little outline that I have to go by because I get off the subject. And I'll start talking about, it's almost like steering in your kids when they run off. It's like, oh, man. So, let me start from the beginning. I started drinking when I was 16, right around there. My father had a bottle of Old Granddad in the cabinet, and I thought it appealed to me. This is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I took a little bit out, like this much. I guess that's a lot, really, for a 16-year-old, but anyway. I went down to the local Piggly Wiggly with me and my best friend, Angie, and we got a couple of Cokes, and I poured it into both of our Coke bottles, and we went behind a Methodist church and watched these young guys play basketball. I was absolutely thrilled. And I was getting, you know, enjoying the view. And that's what I know that's where it all started. I think it happened before then, but I think that's where I got my first taste. And from that point on, the story goes on and on. Now, I'm supposed to talk about my past, my present, my future. So, I just want to tell you where it started. And then I'm going to fast forward this story here, okay? And I ended up getting married to my senior sweetheart. I was 3 months pregnant, and he went to the service, and I proceeded to have two of the most wonderful children that anybody could be blessed with. But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready yet. And I just started going out with my girlfriends little by little, trying to scoot out, and I would drink. And I would drive, and I would have this disruptive behavior every time I went out, but I just kept doing it because it felt so good. And I was able to talk to people the way I wanted to talk to people and dance with people the way that I wanted to dance with people and be this person who I thought I needed to be when I was under the influence. And I thought it was right. And I did it for quite a while. And then I started dating other people while I was married. It's hard for me to say up here, but I did. And I said, I don't want to be married anymore. I want to be single. So, I ended that relationship in 7 years, and I moved back to Georgia. And I'll just go to the next marriage. Why not? Because it does roll on from there. In between all these ups and downs, I will say something about emotions. I don't know about everybody else in here, but my emotions I go way between comedy and tragedy. I don't know where that middle part is, and I still have trouble finding the middle of the road where I'm not too darn happy and I'm not too angry. You know, I'm still moving in that direction. So I got married again. Now, the fun part is, it was fun for me. I got married by a justice of the peace, got divorced by a law firm in Miami, got married by the same justice of the peace to the new guy in Georgia. I got divorced by the same law firm in Miami. The same law firm in Miami that divorced my second husband and I, that lawyer ended up being the, I guess, justice of the peace of my third marriage. I know, I heard I know. Meanwhile, I'm still raising these two children. I never lost custody, and, you know, I probably should have at 1 point or 2 points or three, whatever, but I didn't. I loved them. Just couldn't imagine my life without them. But I just wasn't ready yet. And I proceeded to go out and have fun. And in my third marriage, I thought in the third marriage, I was going to be happy. I was always shooting for that, you know. Just as long as I could get happy. The problem with getting happy is I always had to drink to get happy. And when I wasn't drinking, I was just melancholy, really. Like, what's his life? I always wanted more. Anyway, my third marriage was my white wedding. I was married, his name was Eric Black. And we had a very, very happy marriage. Both of us were drinkers, so that suited both of us. But in our 5-year marriage, we both drank a little bit too much. It got to be really, really a lot. To where I said at one point, I'm going to pick up the phone and call AA. And that was the first time he ever, ever reacted angry with me. He took the phone and slammed it up against the wall and he said, you're not calling. We don't need help. So with that, I really, what do you do after that? Well, we drank. We drank, and we drank. And I finally couldn't drink anymore. I couldn't do anymore. We were in such a mess that I came to Miami, and I said, would you please come back to Miami with me? Because we have to stop this. We have to stop. We're going to lose everything. And we'd already lost custody of his daughter, who was 6 at the time. And Eric wouldn't listen to me. So he continued to drink, and he continued to drink. And I told my sister, I said, why don't you go check on him? So she went to check on him. And he was laying on the couch, and he said he wasn't feeling good. And he went to the bathroom, and he threw up the first time. And the second time he got up, he threw up his entire stomach. And they called me, and I had to go to the hospital. And at that point, he was really going downhill. And if I get emotional, it still hurts to talk about it. So bear with me. In that part of, anyway, I had to bring his daughter in, and Eric was beginning to swell up at that point, and I took his rings off because they had to come off, and I took his Florida Power and Light ring that he'd gotten for service, and I put it on her shoestring because it was too big for her fingers. So that I had to let that go. And I went back to my house, and I got the call 2:00 in the morning that he had gone. And you would think maybe that would have done it. But it didn't. My reaction to that was to go into the cabinet, and I took a bottle of vodka out, and I poured 3 shots straight up. And that was how I handled my husband's death. So, I think from that point on, it was just drink every day. I drank every day. It's a miracle I even got a job with the construction company. I memorized all the projects, and I was able to go in there and get a job. Miracle. But I kept drinking and drinking, and I got to a point in the 4-year tenure that I was with this company that I couldn't go 4 hours without alcohol. Or I'd get the shakes so bad. I couldn't. I thought I would just pass out something. Well, we were in a meeting, and I had gone past my 4 hours. So I thought, well, I got to get up. So I stood up, and I was doing something at the filing cabinet, and at that moment, I fell backward, and I went into a full seizure. And at that point, I hit my bottom. I knew. I remember seeing the paramedic's face, and I was freaking out. I was like, what's going on? And for the first time ever, when the doctor said, how much do you drink? I squirmed a little bit, and I said, I drink a couple a day, and I had to break at that point. And I said, but they're really big drinks. And he was like, okay. So he kept me there for 4 days. And I didn't have to go into a treatment program. I should have. I mean, most doctors would send me, but I didn't. I don't know why he didn't send me there, but I had the most wonderful boss. I went back to work, and to this day, and this is why it's AA, my job, they have no idea what happened to me. They just thought I had a seizure. They had no idea I was an alcoholic. And I had a gentleman bring me to my first AA meeting. And out of all of the searching I had for spiritual guidance and my God, I went to Catholic. Of course, I was drunk at the time. I went to Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, or all of these different denominations of churches, and I could never feel comfortable in any place. I never felt I belonged. So when I went to AA, and I walked through that door, and I know I've heard this story a million times, I felt like I was home. I felt a part of something, like everybody in that room knew what I was about. And I heard stories, and I listened to everybody's stories and sharing and things on the wall. I couldn't even read at the time. Everything was like this, because I couldn't focus. And it was little things on the wall, like keep it simple, and what's some of the others, live, and live, or, you know, keep it simple, stupid, or, you know, things that I remember nowadays, and I can't right now for the life of me, but... I mean, it's amazing. And after some time in AA and getting the sponsor, I picked the sponsor. Now you've heard the past. You've heard my past. Now I'm just talking what happened after AA. And if anybody can follow this. This is really a trip for AA people. I got a sponsor immediately. She was nice. Her name was Selby. And I went through the 12 steps like really fast because that's what I do. I have to go. Done. Well, it doesn't work that way. And I'll never, ever forget, and this is how I did my 12 steps, the hard way. And this is by the grace. I was looking at my stairs in my house. There were 12 stairs. And it was carpeted at the time. The house was 16 years old. And I said, I'm going to strip off that carpeting. I had all this energy I never had before. Quit drinking. What do you do? So I ripped off that carpet, and I ripped off that nasty padding, and I started taking out the nails and the staples, and underneath that stuff was beautiful pine, it was cedar planks. House was from 1960. So I started with the first step, and I took out the nails, and I started putty in the holes. Second step, third step. And as I did the steps, I did my steps. I called my sponsor. I mean, I worked the steps. But I was really doing the steps. And by the fourth step, I was really pissed. Like, this is hard. I'm not just making this up. This really happened. And I was really getting tired, you know. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. By the time I got up to, I would say, the 10th, 11th, I was so tired but overjoyed that I knew I was getting somewhere, that it was just like a mixed, again, it was mixed emotions, high and low still. And I got to the 12th step, and I worked the 12th step. I was so happy. But then I had to send them. So I worked down the stairs, sanding these things one at a time. One at a time. Step one, step two, step three, step four. Well, my second sponsor, who was listening to me do this stuff with these stairs, her name is Lori, and still is. She's still my sponsor. Said, "You work it, girl. Keep doing it." And I call her. I'm tired. But we go over the steps. Because what she told me made sense. She said, "Don't drink. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Or steps, go to meetings." So I was sure to do those four things. And she said, "You do those four things and you will stay sober. And you will be happy and joyous and free." And I was like, Okay. Went back down the steps with the sanding. Went back up with the shellac. Two coats. Went back down the steps. Went back up with the white behind the backwash. And I have to tell you, I just have to tell you, nobody was more pleased than me when I sat down on my couch and I looked up and I saw those beautiful, beautiful, beautiful steps. And every time I walked up and down the steps, I thought of the steps. So that's kind of like what the way I did it. Everybody's got their own way. That's my way. And it's basically my story as far as working the steps. Now I get to tell you about the future. What's happening now? What's happening maybe tomorrow? Hopefully it'll be good. What's going on right now is I will say something that means a lot to me. May not to you, but it does to me. And that is with my first child, my daughter, she was out of college. She went to Florida State University. I'm sorry for anybody that doesn't like the Seminoles, but anyway. She graduated in sociology, and I said, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with sociology? I was sober then. I was ready to ask some questions. She was mine now. And I suggested maybe nursing. So, I told her that when she was 17. I reminded her. I said, you're 17. She was a candy striper. I said, that is what you're supposed to do. Well, after a lot of struggles and drinking and God knows losing faith in me, she listened. She listened. They paid for her to go to school, and she got her nursing degree. And she's a nurse today at Miami-Dade in the Baptist Hospital. So some things are just a blessing. With my son, the last few looks from him, as I was crawling across the floor to get to the toilet to throw up, that's how I remember my darkest moments. And now he went to college. He went to University of Alabama. Well, I have a strange household. And he got his degree, and then he went into the military. And I just got back from San Antonio, Texas, where he graduated from boot camp. So I would never be able to stand up here and tell you this stuff if it weren't for this program and the people in it. So when somebody or anybody wants to talk about AA and they're struggling, and they ask me for anything, then it's my duty and my honor to talk back and give them a little taste of what AA gave me. I can never repay what this program has given me. I've tried. I could bring candy in every Tuesday night to the 5:45. But that's not everything. It has filled up that place, the empty, empty, empty place that nothing else could touch. Nothing. So, I don't know how close I am to my time. I've probably got plenty of time left, right? Yeah, I do. Oh my God. Well, oh man. Let's see. I'll do a little bit of toad tapping. You know what? I am kind of finished. But if there's anything anybody would like to share and ask me or talk about, I'm more than willing to do just that. Because that's what I'm here for, is to share and listen and talk back and compare notes and really give all I got to this program. And this is what I got, is what you just got, what you just heard, is everything I had to go through to get here. And I could go on and on. Now, hey, you want to give me I could go on and on and talk about the whole mess of it. But with all the despair that's out there right now, I like to keep it on the upbeat and talk about the good stuff. I will tell you a story. Just follow this. Since we're all sitting here. I when I was sober for a little while, I asked my daughter, I said, what did you see that's changed in your mom? Right, you know, just give me some. And she looked at me and she said, everything. What a joy that was. Everything. Okay. But then I asked her, I said, what, because I was in that I want to help you phase. But I'm healing, I want to help you heal too. And I said, is there anything that still bothers you? You know, is there, you talk about it. And she said to me, there is one thing. And I said, what? She said that when she was playing soccer in high school, mind you, this girl was 15, 16 when this happened, and she's remembering this at 22. She said that she won the game. She got the goal in soccer. And she was so excited, and she got home, and she wanted to tell everybody. And she said nobody was there. Not anybody. Well, I was there, but I think I was in the bathroom getting drunk. So she sat down in the middle of the floor, and with nobody around. And she said she was really angry with me about that. I said, well, I went the next day. I called Publix, and I ordered a cake that had a soccer ball on it. And I had congratulations written over the top of the cake. And I got her a card, and I got her a balloon. And I wrote in the card, I love you very much, congratulations. So she comes home, and I said, surprise! And she looked over at the cake, and then she looked at me, and she read her card, and she said, thanks, Mom. And I just, even now, it just rips me up. One side and down the other. Those are some of the little things that just make this journey so worth it. And my sponsor, who encourages me, and I tell her everything, and I mean everything, is the one person that, even tonight, I called before I got up here, and I said, hey, I'm going to talk about a few things, and she said, go get them. She knows. She's seen the road I traveled. She's been down the road I traveled. And that's, you know, I could go on, and I probably could go on, but every bit of good stuff I'm saying up here is everything that if you haven't gotten there yet, you will, because it happened for me. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And that's really all I got, folks. I appreciate Tim, you giving me a chance to talk to these folks. I appreciate every one of you for listening to me, even when I'm stumbling. You're there. You listen. And you care. And I know that. And I feel it. And I just can't say how much I love y'all. And I need y'all. And you need me. And that's what this is all about. That's all. Being together. Sharing everything. I'm very proud to be a part of this group. And I'm proud that I was able to talk tonight. And I hope y'all got something out of it. I certainly did. And it's never too late. And I see all these young faces in here. It's beautiful. I wish I'd have been y'all's age when I would have sat my butt in here, but I didn't. I had too many yes. I'll tell you what. I'm getting there. I'm getting there slowly but surely. I just thank y'all. Appreciate it.
That was very heartfelt. It's very good. And the suggestion that we might share a little bit, we do have a little time. We don't have to, but if anybody wants to say anything, yes.
I'm Debbie, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Debbie.
Thank you, Barbara. And I wanted to say I completely related to the situation with the kids. I have two kids, and I got sober when they were 7 and 11. And I was always really afraid, especially the other one would remember, you know, some of the stuff. And she does, but mostly they just see me go through some really horrible things and stay sober. And I got Valentine's cards yesterday that said, "Dear Mom, you're so brave, and you're so confident, and I hope I'm like you." I mean, I bawled my eyes out. Because, you know, I'm sober, but I'm going through some financial stuff, and but that's not, they don't see that I'm going through all this trouble. They see that I'm staying sober, and apparently they think I'm confident, brave woman. But I do have a question. Did you ever marry your fourth husband? You
have to do number 4?
You
still? I thought
this was going to
come
back to me.
Oh, you don't have
that
it yet?
It's one of those things you don't want. I married again. And I was divorced.
Answer what she's requested for you. I'm approaching my fourth step again and wanting to know what your approach is. If you have a slightly different take, that I might be pleased enough.
That's a very good question. I'm Barbara and I'm an alcoholic. And, I did 2 4 steps. The first one was the breathing, because I wanted thinking I was thinking again, that I could do things quickly. The fourth step on the second go round was very difficult for me. I just thank God for the Metro mover, the Metro train that I had to ride every morning, because I couldn't get off, and I was forced to sit there. And so I wrote out my fourth step. And I basically, the way I did it, and I don't know, everybody's different, I kind of went by people. I did it that way. The people that came to my mind the first, and just started listening to people that I did or they did, and I want to see my place in it. But I did people, because it seemed to me that that is where my trouble was. I mean, I just couldn't. I had to go with who I could talk to the most about the most, and this often was the two of that. So,
has it been 5 or 6 yet? Or you stopped at 4?
Step or
actually I have not plunged into the fifth. I really would like to. I'm seeing somebody now that I've seen for the past 14 years off and on, that we've been friends for a very, very long time. And we just recently realized after I was encouraging him and through his rough times of his marriage, and he was encouraging me, and it ended up just being, well, you know what? We really like each other. And we are friends. We've been friends for a long time. And we finally just said, okay, let's see if we can do this thing.
I just wonder how close our stories were to each other.
You guys there? No.
Welcome to the Phil Dunham Show. Oh, that's right. Well, a little more heart, I guess. Yes,
I'm
sure
to listen to the
fifth
step.
Hi,
Joy. And you know what? That just gives me a lot of faith that I can always
because I've had, you know, like a relationship that worked out horrible, and there was a whole lot of, you know, like alcohol involved in it, and it's so hard to really make it work when you're both. But the fact that you keep bouncing back and you keep, really? You know, we're trying again and again inspires me. So I'm going to try it again too.
Keep coming back.
Hi, I'm Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Dan.
I'm Maddie.
Hey, Debbie.
I'm really grateful to be here. And I just met Barbara tonight. I love her already. Yeah, it gave me a lot of faith also to hear. I have two estranged sons right now that I didn't get to see grow up due to my using, drinking. Okay. And it's been really tough, and I've been married 3 times, and I feel like such a failure. And I worked so hard at them. But two of them, I wasn't myself. I didn't know how to be myself. I lost myself because of what was going on. 3 weeks ago, I walked out of my house, sent my son to school, and I knew I was never going back to that house. And I hadn't been involved with the program for years and years because I was able to stay clean, but nothing changed. And here I am. I'm throwing myself back into the program. Something's really different this time for me. I've heard it. I've worked the steps. I've been through it. It just feels right now to ask for help and ask for me. It was I'm looking forward to all the good things that are going to come. I know they will. I'm just sorry for the young people here. I'm really sorry that I feel like I woke up one day and here I am 50 years old. You know, I've been working at this since my mid-30s is when I started going downhill, using getting an addict. Like you said, it started out years before that. I'm going to stick around, and I'm going to be very involved. Thank you so much. A lot of faith. Thank you.
Lots of miracles. Indeed. We passed the seventh tradition basket. We want to thank you for your generosity that supports this group and what we do here in AA Zone. And if we have any AA announcements, we can make them now.
We have chairs for sale.
Whoa. We can hand out some chips. I've asked Ola to hand out the chips. All right.
Thank you. My name is Ila. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ila.
Oh, I thought that was you. Your hair's so beautiful. Thank you, Barbara, for sharing yourself with us this evening. I can tell that you're still on that pink cloud, and you don't ever, ever, ever have to come off. We have chips. And the white one is, in my opinion, the most important one. It's like I have made a decision that I'm going to live. Or, in my case, I didn't think of it in those terms, but it was, dear God, please help me stop drinking. And I prayed that prayer drunk and sober for months and months and months. And then I got a telephone call telling me about AA, and I thought, I'm going to come. And I felt as you did, you know, when I walked in the door, I was home. Because I didn't know your stories. I didn't know where you were from or if your parents were alcoholic. But I knew that you were just like me. And I got hope at that very first meeting because I knew you were just like me. And there was, it was a women's group right over there, Thursday night women's group. It was at 8 o'clock in those days. I thought they were talking about the Bible. And I called myself agnostic at that time, but I thought, I knew they were just like me, and they had been sober. One woman had been sober 6 years. And they all had, some of them had, like, you know, PhD behind their names and stuff, and I was very impressed by that. But even though I thought they were talking about the Bible and I called myself an agnostic, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try this thing. And I didn't get a white chip that night because I didn't know you're supposed to. Or it wasn't offered in a way that I understood. That was probably more likely. But what these are, it's a worthless little piece of plastic. But what it represents is priceless. You know, it's like a credit card ad, you know. Priceless in street cred. You know the word. Anyway, these priceless little chip is a reminder of what we're trying to do. And it was the most unnatural thing in the world for me to go one day without drinking. And if there's anybody here who wants to join us, because I dare say there's not a person in this room tonight, that if I called you and I said, I need your help, you would listen to me 2 hours probably if you thought it would keep me from taking a drink. And there's, I think everybody in the room would do that for each other. So, is there anybody who has been out improving on their story or is just coming in for the first time and would like to join us and let us help you and while you help us, because we got to pass it on? Is there anybody here tonight who wants a white chip? Everybody's old-timers, I guess. How about 30 days and nights without a drink for a silver chip? How about 3 months for a red chip? Anybody got 6 months for a yellow chip? How about 9 months for a green chip? Anybody got 365 days and nights in a row? Congratulations and happy President's Day.
Thank you. You made that white chip sound good. I'm glad I got that. We're going to be able to play that again. All right. Also, barbecue kickball, March 22nd, Murphy Candler Park. And we have chairs to sell. There's orange and plum good chairs. $5. I've got one in my living room. I can tell you, at least Well, my morning meditation. It's good. I like it. It's tacky. I couldn't be happier. That's $5 I ever spent. Okay. Somebody's got the key to the literature cabinet? When they all want up? Yeah, okay. Suzanne, you need to get some AA literature. Next week, Rusty Jones. 28 years in the program. Yeah. Member of the Biscayne, We've Had Enough, and Navajo Wood Square. We're a team player. And then Tommy will is going to be the week after that. So we're bringing out the big guns. Or keeping the big guns rolling. Okay. So I'd like to remind, unless there's anything else, I'd like to remind everybody that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And for those who will, please join us in the Lord's Prayer.
Leslie, would you take us out,
please? I will. You keep them safe.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.